fellow freedom fans. David Allen Carmichael back with the Faith and Freedom Show, where I'm going to talk about the issues on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, the basis of right versus wrong for Frank Talk 104.3 FM and the Liberty Works Radio Network. You can find out more about me by going on the internet, faithfreedoms.org, or typing in my name anywhere, davidallencarmichael.com.net.org. That's fine. You can check that out. Get on board and listen to these podcasts. This interview, of course, will be posted to our website, so you can tune in and share it with your friends later. All right, Jason Sager's on the line here, and he is our guest today. He's trying to see if he can be the Republican nominee for the seat of the 5th Congressional District in Florida. I've got Craig on the line. Craig, go ahead and pose your questions or comments to Jason Sager.
Hey, good afternoon. Hi, Jason. Hey, my question is, Jason, regarding automobile insurance, okay? Now, I got to tell you something. I have a real problem with automobile insurance. You know, we have people out there, I hear a lot of conservatives say that they're all for mandatory car insurance, but at the same time, they talk on the other side of their mouth saying, we're against mandatory health care. And to me, you can't have it both ways. I'm against mandatory health care as well as mandatory insurance, mandatory garbage collection, mandatory anything. I don't want any government telling me I must do something or else. And I think it's very unfair that I'm beholden to the, let alone just the bankers, but I'm beholden to the insurance companies, which are part of the bankers as well. And I don't think it's, I think it's mafia tactics to where they say I must have mandatory car insurance or I don't drive, and if I'm caught driving without it, I'm arrested and or my car is taken away from me. I don't consider that freedom. Your thoughts, please.
Well, I absolutely see your point. That's a state issue. That's not something I could cure from the federal perspective, being that, you know, the 10th Amendment does give the states the rights to do anything that has not been delegated to the federal government. It's a public safety issue. I've complained about the same thing myself in the past. I wish that everybody could, on their own, you know, be responsible enough to have their own car insurance. But there's really nothing that I can do from a federal perspective to block the state from requiring that.
What would have to be done, Jason, to get this out there, to have somebody carry the torch and make some noise about it?
Well, from the car insurance perspective, I mean, the best thing that people can do is approach candidates, you know, that are going for state and local offices, and get them, you know, and educate them on the situation and try to get them to, you know, come on their side. And then also pressure them while they're up in Tallahassee doing various things. I'll be perfectly honest with you, that is not an issue that I've ever really thought about personally, because I've just always had car insurance, and I just don't think about it because I want to make sure I have it for the protection of my family. But if that is something that is definitely concerning you, then I would just suggest that you'll call your state representatives or get involved in their campaigns and make sure that that's an issue that they're addressing.
Well, I agree with you that should be your choice, but do you think, even though it's not something you're handling, do you think that should be mandated?
I don't agree with any government mandating that I have anything. So I guess you and I would agree on that respect.
Okay. Hey, thank you. Good call.
Okay, bye.
All right, now I'm trying to figure out. These were good calls. By the way, the phone lines are open at 888-850-1872. If you'd like to give a question or comment to Jason Sager, he very well may be your next representative in the 5th Congressional District for Florida. So if you've got your pet peeve, you never know. Maybe there's a part of the U.S. Code that you know about that he doesn't, because he hadn't read the entire thing yet. Now, Jason, what parts of the U.S. Code have you read?
Immigration codes, X codes. Depending on the issue, I mean, because the U.S. code is, you know, it would fill up a room. It's impossible really to concentrate on anything. That's why different lawyers have different, you know, specialties as far as what kind of law they study. But I can just assure you that every time that I'm researching an issue, I can definitely find it in the U.S. code and look at it from a common sense, intelligent perspective and analyze it like that.
Okay, well, tell us about immigration then. What do you think on immigration? What do you think's happening now? What would you be doing as a congressman?
Well, that's a very good question. I'm glad you asked, because it's what's going on in Arizona right now. And what I find going on in Arizona is disturbing from from a constitutional perspective that we are now looking down upon people and a state government that is simply trying to enforce the law. And we are calling people extreme because they are enforcing the law. And that is a very bad precedent to set, that we are now considering people who are enforcing the law to be extreme. All Arizona did was copy the federal law that's already in existence. In the federal law, in the Immigration and Naturalization Act, I believe it was passed in 1954, they made it very clear that the state and local governments had the authority to enforce the federal law if the federal government was not capable of doing so. Now, the reason why Arizona had to go and do what they did is because the way that the federal law is written is that it would be a order, more or less, from the Attorney General of the United States to say, okay, we need your help because we can't do it for you. Now, they're never going to say that, so that's why Arizona took it upon itself and gave themselves the authority, which is already in the bill. So they're not, there's no problem. They're doing exactly what a state should do, and that's to protect its people. Now, the problem that we have with the immigration system now, one, the legal immigration system is broken, and we've got to be able to repair it and get it so it is more rapid to allow people to come into this country legally. But we cannot do that unless we first stop what is going on both on our southern border, on our northern border, and with our student visa overstays. The government already has a law in place that makes it illegal to come into the United States as a foreign citizen without first checking through an immigration and naturalization checkpoint. That's the way it has always been. We are all very familiar with the Ellis Island off New York. That used to be one of the original checkpoints. And now, for some reason, we have refused to simply enforce the law. Now, one of the things that I will do is that the law is already in place, and it is the responsibility of the Attorney General of the United States of America to be the chief law enforcement officer of those laws. He cannot make the determination on his own on which laws he will or will not enforce. If the Attorney General refuses to enforce the law to a satisfactory level of Congress, then we should immediately move to impeach the Attorney General of the United States. A lot of people use the word impeach now as if it's a dirty word, and it was never meant to be. It is a system of checks and balances between the three branches of government. And our founders knew that if they gave the power to impeach or remove someone from their duties in any civil officer position, then that in itself would be a constant threat between the three branches that would keep them on the straight and narrow. Congress has refused for generations now, it seems like, to use that simple form of checks and balances. And that is something that I would bring up and absolutely move on the floor. Because if we don't have an Attorney General or a President of the United States who will enforce the laws that Congress has passed, then what are they for?
Well, I'm going to challenge you a little bit on that. As I read the U.S. Constitution, Article 2, it says the executive is supposed to faithfully execute the law. I was watching the video of the current president of the United States saying that Arizona was misguided in their legislation and said that if we in the federal government were not being irresponsible, then we wouldn't have misguided acts like Arizona. And the question that first came up was, who is it in the federal government who's being irresponsible? As far as I knew, there were laws that could be enforced. Based on the Constitution, it is the executive himself that is supposed to be faithfully executing the laws. Now, I do want to go to your impeachment thing. Studying Johnson. I knew there was a J there. Andrew Johnson was impeached, but Congress actually had to pass a law that Andrew Johnson could violate, because obviously there's some specifics to impeachment. There's certain crimes that have to be committed, so they actually had to create a crime for Johnson to break. You know, if he continued his political interposition, that he would end up violating this crime effectively, and of course giving them the power to impeachment. Why would you say that it would be the Attorney General and not the current President of the United States that's not enforcing the law?
Well, we would eventually get to the President of the United States. You're right. The President of the United States is the chief executive officer of the executive branch. But as far as enforcing the law throughout the land, yes, the President is the Attorney General. If the president refuses to enforce the law again and tell his Attorney General that we mean business, then yes, we could move on to the President of the United States for that, absolutely.
But what would be the standing? What would be the cause of action? What would be the statutory basis of the impeachment? I don't know of any law that provides any punitive measures to an Attorney General or anybody else for not enforcing the law. I noticed in Arizona, they put in their bill that any person in Arizona could sue an Arizona agent or officer, could actually take them to Superior Court on for an injunction, I guess, to have them either fined or carry out the, basically enforce the law. I don't know of anything on the books in the United States Code that provides for a penalty that you could give somebody some cause for impeachment.
Congress has the ability to impeach for any high crimes and misdemeanors. If they feel that the executive is not fulfilling the role of the executive, that is the only course of action that they have, is to recommend impeachment, and there could be hearings held.
But what's the high crime or misdemeanor?
What law is the that he's crime? Not enforcing.
What is the high crime or misdemeanor?
Not enforcing the law.
But wouldn't that just be interposition based on the separation of powers?
I don't feel so.
Okay, because you realize, of course, and I think you agree with this, that every branch, they give an oath to the Constitution. So now, one thing, as I was examining the president's statement, I didn't hear him say, I feel that these laws that Congress have passed are, I believe they're unconstitutional, and I must interpose because of my oath to the Constitution. What he said was that he didn't like them. They weren't fair. He didn't feel they were right. They didn't feel they were right. So, what I'm saying is, right now, any branch can ignore the other branch. Madison, in Marbury versus Madison, Madison ignored the other branch. And it was for a political purpose. And really, all the court said was Congress never gave him the jurisdiction to try the issue. So even the Supreme Court was interposing based on what they understood the Constitution to be. Madison was taking a political posture, but there wasn't really any mechanism to hold him accountable.
Well, I believe that, I still honestly believe that Congress absolutely has the authority. And if what we're saying is that the three branches of government no longer have to do what they're constitutionally bound to do, which is the executive's constitutionally bound to uphold the laws that are passed by Congress, then we have a much bigger problem than what we think we have. We can't have the three branches of government are separate and equal, but they have to, by Constitution, work together for the common purpose.
Okay.
And
we're going to take a call real quick. Hey, caller, thank you for calling Frank Talk 104.3 FM. We got about 30 seconds before the break. What's your question or comment?
Hey, David. I really don't know the answer to this. So the question is, what do you do once you catch them? You pull them over. Okay, you find out they're not an American citizen, then what? And I really don't know the answer to that.
Okay, hey, we're going to get to that, and we're going to take a break. Thanks for the call, and we'll have Jason Sager deal with that after the break. Good call. Okay, Jason, we're going to take a break. I thank you for sticking with me. This has been over an hour and 15 minutes. But this is good stuff, and our listeners are tuning in. They're asking good questions, and I appreciate our listeners. Hey, we're going to take a break right now. David Allen Carmichael in this Faith and Freedom Show, talking about the issues of the day on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, the basis of right versus wrong. You can give us a call after the break at 888-850-1872. That's 4850, like the states, 1 USA. Stay tuned to Frank Talk 104.3 FM and the Liberty Works Radio Network, and I shall be back with Jason Sager. This is exciting stuff.